Me to Luke chapter 14 this morning. We're going to be here in just a minute. Before I read this story, I just want to go ahead and get it out on the table that this is an odd story, okay? I think after I preached it the first time this morning, people left saying that was odd. And it's an odd sermon because it's an odd story that comes from an odd book. And it's just, maybe that's one of those things where we just say, okay, it is what it is, and we're just preaching it and hearing it as it is, and just kind of let it be odd, and maybe through this odd story, the Lord has something to say to us and to do in us, okay? Would you stand with me, Luke chapter 14. He begins the chapter by saying, one Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. Then move down to verse 7 with me. When Jesus noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your seat." Then humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you're invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he'll say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you'll be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted. Then Jesus said to the host, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers, your sisters, your relatives, your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you'll be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they can't repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Church, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus is traveling throughout the towns and the villages in the region of Galilee. And just like Jesus told his disciples that when they traveled, they needed to depend on the hospitality of others, Jesus is doing the same thing. As Jesus is traveling, he's depending on the hospitality of others. He is eating and staying in people's homes as he travels through this region. And in this story, it's Sabbath, and Jesus goes to the home. Luke says, not just the home of a Pharisee, but Luke says, this is the home of a prominent Pharisee. Now, knowing what we know about Jesus, we can say that this eating spot in this prominent Pharisee's home probably wasn't Jesus's first choice. Because throughout the course of Jesus's ministry, Jesus went out of his way to eat with sinners and outcasts and tax collectors and broken and needy. And those were the types of people who Jesus usually ate with. Those types of people were Jesus' preferred table company. In fact, eating with those kinds of people is part of what got Jesus into so much trouble. But every once in a while, we see that Jesus is willing to go and eat with a Pharisee. I like that because maybe there's hope for me. One Sabbath, Luke says, Jesus went to eat in the home of a prominent Pharisee. Now, the thing that we've come to know about Jesus, and if you don't know this about Jesus, you need to know this about Jesus. Jesus comes with an agenda. He always comes with an agenda. Jesus isn't just coming to make an appearance. He's not just showing up to fill his belly and to meet some new people. But Jesus is coming with an agenda, and his agenda is to mess with everybody. That's what Jesus does. He messes with people. Jesus, wherever he goes, his interactions that he has, he's always messing things up. He's always messing with people. He's messing with their beliefs, and he's messing with their values. He's messing with their religious rituals. He's messing with their social norms. He's messing with their relationships. Wherever Jesus goes, he's always messing with people. And if you didn't know that about Jesus, then the Jesus who is in the Gospels is just not getting through to you. If he hasn't messed with your life, then you don't know him well enough. Maybe this is a good definition for revival. As we approach our week of spiritual renewal in just a couple of weeks, maybe this is what spiritual renewal is for us: letting Jesus mess with you. Maybe in these days, Our prayer needs to be, oh Lord, would you just come and mess with us? Whatever it is you want to mess with our relationships, mess with our practices, mess with our value, mess with whatever you want to mess with us, Lord. Maybe that's the prayer that we need to have as we approach spiritual renewal. Well, Jesus is going into the setting with an agenda. He's going to mess with people, and he's going to mess with the way that they do everything in this story. And Luke lets us know from the very beginning that they're watching him. The Pharisees are watching him. They're watching him because they know him. They're watching him because they know the kinds of things that he says and he does. Just a few verses before this, he called the Pharisees a bunch of hypocrites. So you know he's not on their good side. They're not stupid. They know that at some point or another during this dinner, Jesus is going to say something or he's going to do something. So they're watching him. It's like throughout this dinner, there's a target on his back. It's like whatever meat they were carving up at this dinner, they were really looking to carve up Jesus. So they're watching him. And the setting is a dinner party. This dinner party is more than just a regular meal. This is a swanky social ceremony. This is a soiree. How you like that word? This is the only time I've ever used that word. Probably the last time I'll ever use it. This is a soiree going on, okay? This is some upscale event that's taking place. The rich cats were the ones who were on the invitation list. The professors and politicians and priests and Pharisees and the prominent people. This was a who's who of all of the somebodies in that town. These types of dinners, they were all about power. They were all about power. It's about having important people over to your place for dinner and schmoozing and networking and putting them in debt to you by having them over. You do this for them, they're going to do something for you. This back and forth, strings are always attached. It's this culture of reciprocity. I do for you, you do for me, this kind of stuff. For a dinner like this, the tables were probably in the shape of a U. And the host sat at the base of the U, and the seats that were nearest to the host were the highest places of honor. The further away your seat was from the host, the less honor your seat had. So everything at a dinner party like this was calculated. There was a pecking order to the seating chart. We're told that the Pharisees were carefully watching Jesus, and we come to see in this story that Jesus is also very carefully watching them as well. He's watching them secure their seats. He's watching them jockey for position in the pecking order. He's watching this culture of back slapping and back scratching. And he sees these people who are drunk on status. And that's when Jesus opens his mouth. And he opens his mouth to mess with the people. Luke says Jesus told them this parable. Now, folks, I have to tell you, when you read this, when you just read this story, it doesn't look like a parable. If you know what a parable is, that has a structure of a parable, a story structure, we see Jesus telling all kinds of parables throughout the Gospels, and this doesn't look like a parable. It doesn't have the typical story structure of a parable. The truth is, if Luke did not refer to this as a parable, none of us would look at this and say, oh, that's a parable. We wouldn't say that. We wouldn't recognize it as a parable. What Jesus says sounds not so much like a parable, and this is what makes it so very odd. What Jesus says in this story sounds more like a Miss Manners column. That's what it feels like. Jesus is dispensing dining etiquette, good social advice, how to avoid embarrassment among dinner guests. It's like Jesus is writing a column titled Jesus Guidelines for Dinner Parties and Social Occasions. It's kind of ironic. It really is ironic because Jesus is giving them some social etiquette, but Jesus is breaking social etiquette in order to give it to them. By standing up as a guest at this dinner party and telling them that they're doing everything wrong, by any standard back then or today, Jesus would be called a rude dinner guest for getting up as a guest and telling them that they're doing everything wrong, that they have bad manners. If this wasn't Jesus who was doing this, we'd look at him and say, hey, buddy, you're out of line. But it is Jesus who's doing it. And Jesus means to be rude because Jesus is messing with them. Jesus has advice for both the guests and the host. To the guests, Jesus says, when you arrive at a dinner party, don't take the best seats. Don't take those seats that are closest to the host. Don't automatically go for those seats. Instead, take the seats of lowest honor. Go to the cheap seats, Jesus says. Don't assume your importance. Don't elevate yourself in that way. Lower yourself. And if somebody comes along and upgrades you to a better seat, then so be it. But you don't upgrade yourself. You don't automatically go to those seats of greatest honor. And then Jesus turns to the host. And Jesus says to the host, when you throw a dinner party, don't invite your friends. Don't invite your family. Don't invite your peers. Don't invite your schmoozing buddies. Don't invite those kinds of people. Don't invite, Jesus says, don't invite the kind of people who are going to pay you back. Don't invite the kind of people who are going to be indebted to you because you had them over for dinner. Don't invite the kind of people who are going to scratch your back in turn. Don't invite them. Instead, Jesus says, and I have to believe he's excited when he says it. Instead, Jesus says, invite the kind of people who can't pay you back. Because doing for people who can do something back for you, how boring is that? How utterly, completely, absolutely dull is that? Doing for people who can do back for you? Everybody does that. This culture of reciprocity, I do for you, you do for me, I owe you one. There's just like Jesus is saying, there's no adventure in that. There's no adventure in that kind of life. It's like Jesus is saying, you really want to live with adventure. You really want to live with adventure. Invite the people who can't pay you back. Do for people who can't do for you. You do that, there's no telling where this ride's going to go. You start doing that, and you're going to be swept up into a wide-eyed, wild ride of an adventure. So folks, in this story, this quite odd story, this is what happens. Here's what happens in this story in a nutshell. Jesus shows up to a swanky dinner party. Jesus blasts the guests for jostling for the seats of honor. Jesus blasts the host for only inviting his buddies. And that's it. And what do you do with a story like that? You think it's weird to read? You should try preaching it. It's like Jesus is giving them a lesson in dinner party etiquette, advice for social occasions, stuff that seems like it could come from Miss Manners. And that just seems to be the point of the story. Right? You get to the last verse of the story. It says something about getting repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. And what is that about? And how does that fit into this table stuff? I was raised to have manners. Manners were drilled into me throughout my life. And so as a parent, I am bound and determined for my kids to have manners, if it kills me. And sometimes I think it's going to. Amen. From the time, you all are with me, from the time my kids were infants, we didn't wait till they were older. From the time they were infants, we started working on manners, especially table manners. So every meal in our home, every meal, right, Kendall? We work on table manners. Close your mouth when you're chewing. Keep your bottom on your seat. Say please and thank you. Please don't eat your spaghetti with your fingers. Use your napkin and not your sleeve. Hold over your plate. Does any of this sound familiar to anybody? We're always working on manners. I've gone so far. Yeah, keep the chair. Keep four on the floor. Yeah, exactly. I've gone so far as to get 12 quarters, and I'll put 4 quarters in front of each of my kids' plates, and at the beginning of the meal, I'll tell them, these quarters are yours to lose, okay? Every time you show a bad manner, I'm taking a quarter back and put it in my pocket. So we work hard. We work hard at this thing. It's this never-ending struggle to make sure these 3 kids, they're going to grow up with manners. They're going to grow up with manners. I keep telling myself that. And Katie and I tell them the reason why we want you to have good manners at our table when it's the 5 of us at the dinner table is because one day we'll be at somebody else's table for dinner. Or one day we're going to have people over to our house for dinner. Or one day we're going to be at a church dinner. Or one day we'll be at a dinner in another setting. And when that day comes, we will expect you to have good manners at that table. You will have good manners at that table. So what we're doing now, when it's just the five of us at our dinner table, we're practicing up. We're practicing up for when that time comes at that table. The work we're doing is practicing our table manners. Folks, in this story, Jesus is doing so much more than dispensing social etiquette for the day. This is a whole lot more. It runs so much deeper than a Miss Manners column. Because what Jesus is saying here, when he refers to the resurrection of the righteous, that's a direct connection to Revelation chapter 19, where it says that there will be a marriage supper of the Lamb when the people of God are gathered together around the banquet table of the Lord. And Revelation 19:9 says, "Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." So folks, the Bible tells us that one day there's going to be a dinner party. One day when Jesus returns, one day at the resurrection of the righteous, one day at the new heaven and the new earth, God will gather up his people from across time and space. He will gather us up, and he will gather us up to, of all things, he's going to gather us up to a table. We're going to come to the banquet table of the Lord at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to put our feet under that table, his table, and we're going to be with him and we're going to be with one another. And there will be food. There will be an abundance of food at his table. And people from every nation, tongue, and tribe will be there. People of every race and skin color, of every shade, will be there. People across the socioeconomic spectrum will be there. The poor, the needy, the outcast, sinners saved by grace will be there. We will gather at his table one day. Amen? And when we get to that table, we're not going to get there by jockeying for position or scratching backs or pulling strings. There won't be a pecking order to that seating chart, because none of us earn our seats at that table, right? None of us earn our seats at that table. We get to that table by his grace and his grace alone. And when we get to his table, we're all equal at his table. We're all equal at his table. Just like we're all equal at the foot of the cross, we are all equal at the table of the Lord. That's how it's going to be at his table. So in this story, Jesus says, when you gather at tables now, I want you to understand that you're practicing up for that day when you're going to gather at my table. Just like when the brownies eat at home and they're practicing up for that day, they're going to be at another table. When we gather around tables now, we are practicing for that meal one day around his table. So Jesus tells us in this story, I want you to arrange your tables now. I want you to arrange your meals now as if they are that meal. Your invitation list, your seating chart, all of it, arrange it now as if it is already that meal. What Jesus is saying to us is, I need you to practice up. I need you to practice up with the way you do meals now. So this morning, do you care too much about pecking order and status? Are you only doing for those who can do back for you? When was the last time you did for someone who couldn't return the favor? When was the last time you invited someone to a meal who could not reciprocate? You know, Jesus specifically names four groups of people here: the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. You might say, it's an odd story. This is an odd story because, you know, it's table stuff and all this kind of, it just doesn't feel very spiritual. Well, trust Jesus. He says it is. He says what we do around our tables now is spiritual. Notice Jesus doesn't just say in this story, he doesn't just say, give your money to the poor. No, that's not what he's saying here. He's saying, Eat with them. Eat with them. Invite them to your table because one day that's how it's going to be at his table, so he wants us to practice up now. How boring is it if around your tables now, if it's always only people like you? Your skin color, your economic bracket, people who share your politics, people who are just like you, who look like you and dress. How boring is a life like that? Folks, I got some news for you. If you're only eating with people who are like you, you're going to really be surprised one day when you get to his table. You're going to be in shock. Because when you get to his table, there's going to be a whole lot of people who are not like you. Years ago at a church I attended, there was an older couple, recent retirees. Their kids were grown up and gone out of the house. And they were faithful followers of Jesus. And they were looking for kingdom adventure in their life. And so this is what they did. This is their weekly practice. On Saturday night, they would reserve a table at a restaurant for Sunday lunch. And they would go into each Sunday morning at their church asking each other, who's it going to be? Who are we going to take to Sunday lunch? And they always had one rule. It's not going to be people like us, not people who look like us, who live in our neighborhood. And so a single mom shows up with a slew of kids, and they say, hey, we're treating y'all to dinner today. Or that new family walks into the church with tattered clothes, and they say, hey, we're taking you to Sunday dinner today. Or if there was maybe a family that got bussed into the church because they didn't have a vehicle, then this couple would go to the bus driver and say, hey, we got it. We'll take them home from here because we're taking them to lunch first. Every Sunday was this great adventure where they said, who's it going to be? And they even surprised themselves by finding whoever it could be that wasn't like them to take them to Sunday dinner. And it was a great adventure. And they grew in their faith. They grew as disciples because they adopted this practice of bringing people to their table who were not like them, people who couldn't reciprocate. And I wonder if we can even begin to imagine what that might look like or what that might be like, or if we started to do something like that, what the Lord might do with it. If you did something like that, if you dared to do anything like that, maybe, one of those new families, a single mom with a slew of kids that you take to lunch one Sunday, one or two of those kids might end up following God into ministry. Hey, it's an odd story. I didn't write it. Table manners, weird stuff going on. Hey, Jesus did it. Jesus said it. Apparently, it's important to him. As we look at that table, and we anticipate gathering around that table, Jesus instructs us, I want you to practice that kind of meal now, around your tables now, because he knows that when we do that, that helps form us in his grace, in kingdom living. So, I've got a bunch of stuff written down, but I'm just going to ask you this question because I think this gets to the heart of it. Who are you breaking bread with? Who are you breaking bread with? And as his people, could we be more intentional about who we're breaking bread with? This mattered so much to Jesus. It mattered so much to him that we get our table manners right as we anticipate heaven. Mattered so much to him that he told us as his church to get around a table often. He said, keep doing the table thing. Put your feet around a table as my body. Do it often. Keep going around the table. Do the table thing so that we can be reminded that we are only here by his grace and that we should be people who extend that grace toward others. So this morning we come to his table. We come to his table to receive his broken body and his shed blood. as reminders of what he's done for us, of the sacrifice that he made and the life that he calls us to live. We're reminded that Jesus didn't just say this stuff in this story, but Jesus embodied it. He really lived this. Jesus wasn't the type of person who always jockeyed for the best position, the best seat at the table. He wasn't that type of person. He always took the lowest. He is the one who took the form of a servant. He lowered himself. He emptied himself. And throughout the course of his life, throughout the course of his ministry, Jesus didn't just do for those who could do back for him. But Jesus went out of his way to always do for those who could not return the favor to him. So he lived it, he embodied it. The bread and the cup, as we come to his table, are reminders for us, reminders of who he is and the life that he calls us to live. We're reminded that as we gather around his table today, and really when you gather around any table, your dinner table, table with friends at your home, table at the church for a church meal, anytime we gather around any table, we're anticipating that day. We're practicing up for that day when we gather around his table. The marriage supper of the Lamb at the banquet table of the Lord. So today we gather at this table. We practice up to make ourselves ready for that table. I'm going to ask our servers if you would come and begin the process of serving. And our kids are going to be coming over. They're going to be here in just a moment.